Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, Tom.
It's been a long time since we've done one of these.
When was it? March? Was it the end of March?
End of March, before we took a month off.
And I've had so many emails begging us to come back to doing podcasts.
Have you?
No, not one.
I had someone say that they missed our podcasts.
And
so we thought we would come back, and we have made a vow to each other that these are going to be shorter, snappier, and more to the point, so that we're able to effectively reach out in a better and more concise way than before. And I guess that probably means we need to lose this first section of banter. So what we're going to do is go straight into what we want to talk about today, which is effectively the bits that I missed out at the weekend from my talk on Joshua chapter 3. If you know the story of Joshua, you'll understand that Joshua chapter 3 is an incredible passage, and I only talked on the first, effectively about the first 6 or 7 verses of it, but it goes on to talk about so much more. And it, obviously, if you joined us at the weekend, you'll have heard about the way that God told them he was going to go before the Israelites. But now what we come to is the next part, when they actually have to go across the Jordan. And there's some great similarities, aren't there, between what we see at the very start of the Exodus of the Israelites from Egypt with Moses when they're crossing the Red Sea compared to now. Now, Tim, here's a big question. What is the main difference between the crossing of the Israelites when they cross the Red Sea compared to now, the crossing of the River Jordan?
Well, if you've ever seen that great film that I can't remember the title of, The Ten Commandments, it's called, a very old film. They do the crossing of the Red Sea with Moses, of course, and there's this great pre-CGI image of the walls of water banking up and creating a way through the sea itself. And I don't know what year it was made, but a long time ago. But anyway, very dramatic. And they walk through walls of water on both sides. Now, if you read this passage, of course, the water has been stopped further upstream here, hasn't it? And so I think they are different, of course. In other ways, of course, the first time they were leaving Egypt, this time they're going into the promised land. So the Egyptians were going to be hemmed in. And this time they're going to go and take over the land of Canaan. So very different experiences, but going definitely crossing the water. And it did strike me a little bit on Sunday when you were talking that the distance that they had to keep from the ark was... Well, it says on my footnotes, 900 metres. So there must have been a great expanse of dry ground, because once the ark went into the centre of it, they had to keep 900 metres away from it. So it must have been a vast area of dry ground for them to go, which was amazing, because there's lots of people as well, of course.
Well, we'll come on to that in one moment,
okay.
The distance. But I want to offer to you a slightly different thought. I'd like to argue, and it's not much of an argument, I'd like to argue that the difference between the first crossing and this crossing is that on this occasion, they had to have faith that the water would move. With Moses, the first time, the command was made and the sea split. On this occasion, what does the Bible say? It says that they are to go and stand in the river. I read that as that one or two people had to get their feet wet before it happened, before that moment of faith came, where they had to actually have the confidence in God to take a step into the river. And at that moment, the water stopped flowing. And it says that the water stopped flowing way upstream as well, which is a very interesting one. And I think it would have been an absolutely incredible thing to see as the water flows through and nothing comes behind it. We're used to seeing streams and rivers obviously flowing through all the time. And if ever you've gone on to canals, for example, they're a great example of it. Because what you see on a canal is the fact that water stops when you open and when you close a lock. I've got to get this the right way. I'm not very good at this. When you close a lock. And obviously that's what allows you to safely travel through to the next bit or change height in what you're in your boat. But here, of course, what we see is that somewhere upstream, the water stops. And effectively the water just keeps flowing, but nothing comes behind it, like a great dam further up. And it's only when one or two of those priests take a step into the river that the flow stops. I think there's that crazy moment for those priests where they're thinking, is this actually going to happen? Are we actually about to lose the ark downstream? Are we going to see the end of whoever the people at the front of the ark, who they're carrying it, they're going to be swept away? It was probably in the back of their mind, but equally they knew God was with them and God was going to be able to carry them through this. And so the first kind of two people carry the ark in, and at that point the water stops. Those first two people will have been seeing the river ahead of them. And I think there's a really good thing there for us to realise that sometimes we're going to have to get our feet wet before God shows us his plan. And I think there's a challenge for each of us. All of the Israelites behind, they didn't get a single foot wet, but there was still a pioneer, a leader who had to go before them. And of course, Joshua is one who was giving these commands after his conversation with God. But then the priest still had to have faith in what Joshua had been told and in what they understood.
That's great. It's a great insight, Tom. And I think there are times when we have to take the first step, don't we? You know, that God's inviting us to take the first step and then he'll do amazing things. And the first step for them as well, probably a bit before that, was to consecrate themselves. You know, if you're in a place where you're ready for what God wants to do, then I think you can have confidence then. It is interesting that as soon as the spies came back at the end of chapter 2, early the next morning, Joshua told them to get on with it. You know, there was no sense of waiting around. You know, this is what God has said. This is what the spies have reported. We're going to go forward and do it. And so there's this lovely flow of confidence that I think begins to build up. And of course, taking the Ark of the Covenant in with them, the very, you know, the presence of God was there as a very visible and visual sign for the people that this was part of God's plan for them as well. So yeah, it's a great story. And what confidence to beat those first people who got their feet wet, what great confidence they were pioneering into the future as well.
And of course, then you mentioned about the distance, and I very briefly mentioned it on Sunday, but I think there's some significance in this. And I'm not sure that the distance is quite so imperative in terms of how far away they were, but I think there's a great importance in that the ark travelled so far ahead of them that everyone was able to see. And it was almost a sign for them that they all couldn't have missed it.
Yeah,
they would have all seen the ark move in. And it's interesting how the passage talks about the way that the ark stood in the middle of the Jordan and all of Israel passed by. And so actually, where I'm thinking this is that they crossed the river maybe a whole kilometre away from the ark, almost like the ark was there as a barricade for the Israelites to then pass a kilometre further downstream safely, keeping their distance from the ark, but at the same time not being able to avoid seeing it go before them. And there were hundreds of thousands. There's an estimate that there may have even been over 1 million people who were travelling over. That'd take quite some time. And of course, for each and every one of them to be able to see the ark wouldn't have been something that would have been necessarily easy. We must remember that the ark is not a very large object. I know you kind of, in films, you might have seen it as this huge, great big thing, but it really wasn't a large object. And so for everyone to be able to see it, it would have to be far away. It would have to be at a distance where people would be able to obviously acknowledge it was there, see it, respect it, and then move on.
I think that's a great image as well, that actually people kept away from it, then everybody could see it. I think that's a brilliant thought. You know, that if people, if you got 100 people crowding around it, nobody could see it, could you? But at 900 meters away, a kilometer away, then everybody gets a view of it, because they were probably slightly raised on the bank of the river, so they got a great sort of panoramic view of the priest going in and being very confident that this wasn't just some human expedition. This was the sense of God was leading them, and the priests were there before them as well as representatives. And obviously Joshua had as the leader had told them that it was all going to be okay. And what a day that must have been as they started walking through walking on this dry land. Wondering if the river was going to start flowing again, I suppose, maybe. Mm. Is it going to start coming down?
Well, you'll be able to... Tim's going to be opening up the next part of our story in Joshua chapter 4 next week, which does talk a bit. It wasn't quite a... They passed over, but there was some other things that happened throughout, and we'll hear more about that as we go. I guess I just wanted to share. So I when I say bits I missed out from the weekend, I made loads of notes, and there were some things that... I guess if I'd had more time, then we'd have been able to explore. But my head started going towards this idea of where can we see the presence of God in our lives? So for the Israelites, they looked upstream. They were able to look upstream and see God's presence there, creating effectively a barricade between the rushing, flowing waters and where they were travelling through on dry ground. And I suppose my head started to say, okay, so what have we seen over the last few months? Where have we seen God's presence in our lives? And without sharing personal stories of people, I guess I started looking into the national news. And I started to think, okay, so what are some of the real life examples that we've seen of God moving in areas? And there's some incredible stories out there. You can find all of these just by Googling for them or looking on BBC News. But you know, down the road in Uttoxeter, there was a guy who got nicknamed the Pizza Pastor. And he was a minister who took on a second job as a pizza delivery driver to raise funds for the local food bank, but also to use his job as an opportunity to have face-to-face conversations with people when you weren't allowed to do it, which I thought was just incredible. And like, wow, we're seeing creative ways for God, that God is moving, and a challenge for us to say, okay, so what more is there that we can do if we simply focus on God? There was a hospital chaplain who, I mean, this is probably the case for loads of hospital chaplains across the country, who became links between families and loved ones, because of course, chaplains were allowed to go into hospitals, but there were moments when visitors were not allowed. So he took it on himself to take in messages and record videos and things for family members to send into their loved ones. There were churches in Devon all came together to purchase an old black cab, which was and still is used to ferry elderly and vulnerable people to medical appointments and to get vaccinations. Why did they get a black cab? Well, because of the licensing way that it all works, allowed them to transport people, and it was a COVID-safe way of doing it with the measures that were in place. Just so many stories where I kind of looked and I thought, this is the sort of modern day version of what we see in this story. This is people hearing from God that you've got to do something about this issue, and here is how you're going to overcome it. Here is how you're going to move. And it challenged me to think about those moments when I need to focus on God and focus on what he's wanting me to do, because actually sometimes there's going to be some pretty crazy things that come up. And some of this was what we talked about with our youth group on Sunday night. We've been following through the sermons as well. And we were getting them to come up with creative solutions to problems and think about how God might work in those situations as well. And someone came up with a great thing of God might make them a little bit taller to overcome something, things like that. But it's been a challenge for me to say, where are these moments when I need to look for the Ark of the Covenant and follow it? And sometimes there's going to be these stories, aren't there, of a pizza pastor, and then you think, well, could I look at doing something like that? There's the chaplaincy role. Is there something I can do there to help it? Can I use my skills to help other people with God going before me?
It's this that's quite exciting, isn't it, as well? And you know, it's been a tough year, but how is God leading us out of this time as well? And what are the opportunities that are coming? And verse 4, which you touched on Sunday, you know, if you keep your eye on the Ark of the Covenant, on God's presence, then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before, you know. And I think that there is that sense for all of us, and perhaps for some people listening today who are excited about an opportunity that God may have them, who are looking out for something, feeling that God is going to stir something new and birth something new in them, then actually, you know, keep your eyes on what God is doing and follow him and join him in what he's doing, because there is the place where God wants to take you. You've not been this way before, but hey, he's going ahead of you. Keep your eyes on him and follow him. And that excites me for individuals in their workplaces, in their own communities and neighbourhoods. It excites me for the church as a whole. And, you know, we want to be sensing what God, what are you doing? Where are you leading us now to minister to our community, to see lives transformed? We've never been this way before. We've never come out of lockdown before. But God, what are the new things? We've had to put everything down. We've been frustrated because we haven't been able to do lots of things. But actually now, as we move back out, as we come into that place that God is leading us, then what is God going to do? So, yeah, timely word and exciting to see what God might do through all of those who are listening to us right now.
I think my closing comments would be that where in our lives do we need to wet our feet?
Great.
Where do we need to trust in God and sometimes take that first step out in faith? For the Israelites, this is the start. Mm. You might think their journey up till now has been pretty crazy, but actually this is just the start of the wondrous works that God is going to do with them and through them in this new land. We, in a couple of weeks' time, we've got one of the most incredible passages of the whole Bible coming up, which talks about the walls of Jericho and what happens there. I'm really excited to be able to read that again. But I think for all of us, you know, like you said, Tim, we haven't been this way before, but I think my opinion on this, and I hope many other people will be coming out of this as well, thinking that I think it's time for us to perhaps get our feet a little bit wet and see what God will do.
Brilliant.
Shall we pray?
Let's
Can we pray? Can I pray? Can I pray over Please every do. Single person here listening along today? Father, we thank you that when we see the Israelites cross the Jordan, we're reminded that you have the power to do so much more than we can ask or imagine. Today, I ask that you would help us to trust your wisdom and to ask in faith that you would do great things for your people and for the world through this next season that we are going to go through. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you for joining us.
Yeah. If you'd like to be part of this conversation, please do get in touch with us, really. We'd love to carry on conversations through God's word, which is what we're going to do during the podcasts as we continue this journey through Joshua as well. Brilliant. Thanks, Tom.
For those of you who just join us for our podcasts, we just wanted to take 1 minute at the end to share a couple of things that we have going on through the week. Each Wednesday, we're going to be bringing you an NBC Connect podcast for the foreseeable future. But we have more opportunities for you to explore God's word with us. On Tuesdays, we're running a course called The Bible Course, an opportunity to explore the greatest book ever written and for you to gain confidence in the big story of the Bible. That's at 7:30. It happens all online. So wherever you are in the world, you are welcome to join us. And then, of course, we have our regular Sunday services. They're happening at the moment on YouTube and in person as well. If you want to come along in person, then we must say to you that you need to book in for the time being whilst we have limited numbers. You can do that through our website, newcastlebaptist.org.uk/booking. But if you're not quite ready to join us in person yet, then don't worry. You can join us through our YouTube page where we'll be live streaming all of our services for you to join in with from the comfort of your own home. This Sunday, we're going to be looking at the next part of the story of Joshua, Joshua chapter 4, where, Tim, do you want to give us a 10 seconds or less preview?
Yeah, it's all about stones. So
all about stones. Good. Stones, stones, stones. Fantastic. Thank you for joining us today. God bless you. I've really missed being able to podcast with you, Tim, and it's great to be back. See you soon.
Thank
you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.